If you have your Bible with you, could you please turn to Psalm 73? And let me read to you the whole Psalm, 28 verses. Psalm 73. Verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heavens but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far off, far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At the same time, I'd like to take this opportunity to wish all of you a healthy and happy New Year in the Lord. The year ends, or 2007 ends with a very sad note. In Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto was assassinated, and that resulted in violence in that country. Not long later in Kenya, because of the election, there is some violence, and people are killed, innocent people are killed, and some of them were pursued by their assailants, ran into a church to seek refuge. They were also attacked, paying no respect to God. And you have not wronged even the church. The church building also was damaged. Terrorists continue to kill. Suicide bombers are still on the rise. There are wars here and there. At the same time, we find that the people in the world are quite happy because there's advancement in technology, in economy, in trade, in knowledge. And it seems that people are getting richer and richer. Bank interest rates have gone up, showing that they think they have forecast that in this year, things will look better. So there is a mixed feeling in all these things. Yet, as Christians, we look at people who gets rich, powerful. They are not better in many ways. Morally and spiritually, even religiously, talking about God, they are not interested. Man become more crooked, more corrupt. It's very ironical. The increase in knowledge, in trade, in wealth. They are brilliant in their mind, but yet in their heart, their ways, their relationship and dealings with fellow human beings is very sad. And we as Christians, sometimes we try ourselves to live a life that is pleasing to God. When we are struck on the left cheek, we turn the right cheek. We try our very best to honor God, to live well, to have a clean heart, to live a holy life. All of you there, you want to live a life, if you are Christians, a life that will please God and honor God. And yet we see all these things happening around and we are affected by it. And we see that even this world, the people who are crooked and corrupt, those terrorists and all the others, they seem to get away with what they are doing. And then they prosper somehow at the same time. And our hearts are affected. Sometimes we are drawn away from the Lord and to go in the ways of the world so that we can be like them too. For the things that they want are the things we also crave for. And sometimes we look at ourselves and we try our best and look at ourselves. Maybe it is futile to be a Christian. Maybe I have, as the psalmist here says, we have all lived in vain. This is what the psalmist says here. I will draw attention to verse 20:12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world and increase in riches. Verily, says the psalmist, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Do you have this feeling? Do you have? I mean, the psalmist is very realistic, you know. He speaks himself, he's as human as I am, as you are. And sometimes we feel that way. Are we not? You ask yourself. And so the psalmist here, the psalmist tried to live a life that really glorifies and honors God. He lives his life, he doesn't want to sin against God. Daily he would ask God for forgiveness and want to live a life in accordance with the will of God. Yet, when he behold the people in the world, they are corrupt, they are crooked, they prosper, they increase in wealth, they are powerful. And I think you and I will say, what am I doing here? My God is the Almighty God. I am His child. He bought me with His precious blood. I am precious to Him. How come I am in this state? So, you have this psalmist. For all the day long, he says in verse 14, I have been plagued and chastened every morning. It's very true. Sometimes you have been attacked. Sometimes the church has been attacked. The college has been attacked. And yet you find those who are attacking us prosper. And we are not. We are suffering all the time. Where are you, Lord? How many times we also ask that? Where are you? And so during such time, we are tempted to draw away from God and go the way of the world. Be like them. Be crooked. Be corrupt. And be blessed. Get everything in this world. Are you feeling that way? Or you may be going that way. Or you may not, but you will be affected. This is happening all the time. It has happened last year, it will happen this year. It will. It will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And the world will get worse and worse. But at the same time, I think the world will get better and better in terms of riches. You read Revelation chapter 20, book of Revelation very carefully. Yes, trade will always increase, knowledge will increase, and with that technology will increase. Material things will become better for everyone. You will be affected. I will be affected. But as for the world is concerned, it's anti-God. As it says, the psalmist says here, where is God? Does God know? He says here, does God know? How does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? So as if that God knows nothing, God is oblivious to what is happening around the world. And his children are suffering in this sense. His children are not getting the best of it. Where is God? This is the feeling of the psalmist we've just read. You find the first part of it up to verse 16 there. It's too painful for me, he says. So the psalmist here expresses your feeling and my feelings. At times we may have that kind of feeling. What are we going to do? How can we become strong? So our heart fails. Our heart, there's a seat of our emotions and the seat of our will. We fail. We may have the mental perception correct, but our heart, our feelings and our will give way? How can we save ourselves? How can we rise up above all these situations? I speak to you, share with you, frankly, heart to heart. So we hope this year and years later, is there something that we can hold on to strengthen our heart? What is the strength of our heart? How can I be strong? How can you be strong in your heart that in the midst of this kind of a crooked and corrupt world, as what the psalmist says, the increase in riches and power, we still can be strong, happy. What is it? Now you look at the scriptures here, and the scriptures here, the psalmist says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. So the first thing is that you enter into the psalmist, enter into the sanctuary of God. He went. The sanctuary of God in the Old Testament is the temple, the tabernacle, or the temple. There in the quietness of the presence of God. In the presence of God, he realizes, he sees. So there is one thing that we need to do here. First thing that we must enter into the presence of the sanctuary of God here is to enter into his presence. And to enter his presence of God is to know who God is. And the God that you and I believe is the true, this one and living true God, the God whom Jesus Christ came to reveal to us, is the God of Israel. For God chose Israel to use Israel to reveal himself to the whole world. No other gods, the gods of all other religions, are no gods except the God of the Bible. Believe that. You must accept that, believe it, and declare it without apology. The God of the Bible, the God where whom Jesus Christ came to reveal, is the one true and living God, is my God, my Father in heaven. And he has revealed to me his word. This is your God. Are you not happy? Are you not proud? Wonderful. I am the child of the living God, the one who created heaven and earth. And so the psalmist says, when I enter the sanctuary of God, then I know their end. And so in other words, if you enter into the presence of God, in the holiness of God, his awesomeness, this one true and living God, and you see his light, his awesome, his glory, and you are his child, and you can be there and not be struck dead and dropped dead because you have Christ in you. The psalmist says, he went into, and he knows the end of the others who are non-Christians. How he sees these ungodly, the wicked, how they prosper, yes, on this earth. 70 plus 10 plus another 10 and no more. He says, the psalmist says, when I know their end. So what is important is the end and not what on earth. Then he's encouraged. Oh yes. He's encouraged in the sense that when he went there, he looked at verse 21, what was his feeling? Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, in my heart. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before. You know, this psalmist, he was a Christian, no? He's a child of God. And because of this feeling that he has, and then he knew, begin to know what is the end of those who are ungodly. Surely thou hast set them in verse 18, slippery places, thou cast them into destruction, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. So those who are against God and now anti-God would reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but Look at them, they are prosperous, they are powerful, they can do anything and get away with it. And you are jealous, envious of them. But this psalmist, when you enter into the sanctuary of God and see the presence of God, who God is, and you are His child, this is my God and He is my Heavenly Father and I am His child. And you know what is the end of all these ungodly people? Given them 70 to 90 years here on earth and they still reject Christ, they'll be cast down and destroyed. According to the psalmist here, in a moment their life will be taken and they'll be cast down in the lake of fire. To be cast into the lake of fire, suffer for all eternity. The psalmist says, I was so stupid to be envious of them. I grieve, I'm sad. He says that. So this is one thing that we need to learn first. First enter into the presence of God and know who God is and who you are and what is the end. So the end is important, not the beginning. Why? Why? It is not life on this world, in this world only. You see, the people who are outside of God's kingdom think that life is only on this world. And really, it's how foolish they are. They think that life is here now. They study hard. They amass everything. And then at the end, they die. And that's finished. Just yesterday, I talked to a friend, a cobbler. I went to the cobbler and said, it's a friend also. I said, how? You're a Christian? No. Coming to church? No. I have no time. I think you can make time. You mean you work so hard? Look at you, you work so hard. And then at the end of your life, and that's it, you die. Yeah, I've thought about that. Very good. So I tried to encourage him, at least spend one Sunday. Sunday morning, only morning, you just come. Come and listen. And pray that listening he may come to see and find the Lord Jesus Christ. So life here on this earth, is it life only here on this earth? And then you mess everything and after that you die, you cannot take anything with you? Is that life? No, that was not God's plan. This life on this earth here is to prepare us. Is God trying to... God is redeeming and reconciling people to Him. For what? For His plan. His plan is the new heaven and new earth. Forever and ever we'll be with God. And Jesus Christ says that I go to prepare a mansion for you. Some people say, "Oh, a mansion? Okay, a mansion, I finish." No, Jesus Christ is going to. There will be a new earth like this present earth. This present earth will be destroyed, and God will create another earth, and Christ will build a mansion for you. God promised you. Jesus Christ promised you. You will have a mansion, and you don't have to line up. 700 over condominium type. 1,100 line up for 700 over. You don't have to line up. Your name inscribed there when you go to heaven. Stephen Koo Hong Guan. What's your name? All there. Inscribed. And God wants to dwell with you. And we have so many things for us to do. That's the end, the beginning of. You see, when it comes to the end's life, that is the beginning of life. You can't see it now. You must see it with your eyes of faith. You must see this. You must use the same faith that you now believe in Christ. You must use the same kind of faith to believe in the new heaven, new earth. I'm not saying something new, you know. It's all in the Bible here. The new heaven and new earth is all there. Then you must see with the eyes of faith. That is the life. And the end for those crooked people who are reject God is the end is the lake of fire. Paul, the apostle Paul, God was very gracious to him. And he was caught up into the third heavens, paradise. He saw. He came back, he couldn't describe it. And what is the next moment? When he wrote to the Philippians church, I rather be absent from the body than present to God. Paul doesn't want to stay here anymore. When he sees, he doesn't want to stay here. He wants to go up there. And I believe with all my heart that if God should give the same experience to you and me, all of us want to be there, don't want to come down. And how about those of you who are still outside the kingdom of God, who's going to preach the gospel? God's plan is to redeem and reconcile men to Him. So we have to be here, right? The day when you go out in heaven, there'll be a lot of regrets. Let it not be. When you go up there, regret. Better now we change. Even if the non-Christian, when he died, he became missionary minded. He thought, he prayed to Abraham, say, go, let me go back and then warn my brothers. My brothers are all living like that. You know, I don't want them to live like that. I want them to believe in Jesus Christ so that they don't come to the place where I am. You see, even the non-believer, when he goes to the other side, he sees, wow, this is the truth. The most important thing, there are two places, heaven and hell. And he was in hell. And he wants all his brothers to go to heaven. So we cannot be complacent, you know. We cannot let things that we see around these people, crooked and corrupt people, wicked, ungodly people, getting wonderful. They're having a wonderful life here. Yes, because Satan wants to give them the world. You don't worship, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I'll give you the world. Do you want? Some of you say, maybe it's good. Can I have a bit of the world? Satan says, also can. You don't want the whole world, I can give you a bit of the world. Only provided you don't worship Jesus Christ. You don't worship God, the God whom Jesus Christ believes. You do that. Didn't that? The devil is the one who tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, you shall gain the whole world. What shall it profit you? When your soul is in hell, what shall it profit your soul? And so the first thing that we need to be, our heart to be strengthened, so that our heart is not grieved, so that we're not grieve and sad and grumble and complain, is that we must go into the presence of God. Then you must know who God is. And in order to see who God is, it's not your imagination. The world will tell you who God is. No, you also may have your own idea. The only way that you and I can know who really God is to read His Word. You need to read His Word. You must. How many books? What is the last book that you have written, have read today? You have read many kinds of books. I believe you. You all have read many kinds of books. Business book, management books, economic books, finance books, right? Accountancy books, all kinds of books you have read. Yet, you have to read this book. And when you see God, your heart will be strengthened. Your heart will not move. Let's move on what it says in verse 23. Nevertheless, and then he says there, nevertheless, say, foolish, and I was as a beast before thee. I mean, beast, meaning that, look at beast, just live and then die. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Here is an acknowledgement to God. He's a child of God, and God will never deny Himself. God will always fulfill His promise, and He says that God has been always, He acknowledges that God has always been with him. And has held his right hand, as God has been protecting him, leading him with what? Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, with his words here given to us, and afterward receive me to glory. You see, this is the life of the Christian. You're on this earth, you believe, and God will lead you and guide you, protect you. And you read his word, you follow him. That's what God's what God wants you to live for Him. We live for Him. We live in accordance to God's Word. The world may go around like this, may be increasing wealth and everything better than us. But when you enter into the presence of God and see the glory, the holiness of God, you change. And you read here in verse 23 and 24, whom have I in heaven but thee? That's important, because there are only two places. There's only one, and there's God in heaven. And so he wants God. And there is none upon earth that I desire beside. And here on earth, yes, also the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my flesh, my natural body, and my heart, he says here, faileth. While he looks at himself and look at the world, he just earlier said how his heart fails because he's been tempted, attracted into this world, and to be like the people in the world and follow their ways. But he says what? But, you see, verse 26, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. So in his mind, God is the strength. The knowledge of God is his strength. In other words, God is his possession, and he is possessed by God. I possess God. God is my inheritance. I possess God, and God possess me. You possess God. You have God in you, and God also have you in him. This is important. You are a child of God. You belong to God. You have God. He has you. And who is he? None other than the Lord God Almighty, who is continually with you, who has held your right hand, who has guided you with his counsel, with his word. And afterward, when you die, he receives you to glory, not in hell, receive you to be with him. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish, but thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. That means they don't, a whoring from thee means they don't want to worship God. They worship other gods. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. So what? This is the salute that you always have. My heart strong. My heart is strong because God. My God is the strength of my heart. So this year, please go through this year with this truth, this little truth, that God is my portion and God is the strength of my heart. And know who God is. He is my portion. The psalmist says, you see, I possess God and God possesses me. Have this truth. And there are many, many wonderful truths, but this is the greatest truth, the knowledge of who God is. And he is my God and your God. Be strong. Be not moved. Don't be envious of the ungodly. You keep on doing the word of God. Go seek your friends. Fill up all these empty pews, chairs, with your friends, with people, and they might come to hear and also learn this way. Learn this truth, that God is their portion and the strength of their heart. May God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It is so simple, but it is so profound. So grant us understanding and open our hearts to receive, to be strengthened. Truly, Lord, may we say with the psalmist that you are the strength of our heart, and you are our portion. Let this truth remain in our hearts that we carry until the day, Lord, we meet you face to face. Oh, how wonderful it is. And when life ends here, Lord, you receive us to you in glory. To be with you forever and ever, we thank you, Father. So, Lord, bless everyone here and those who are not, who are still outside your kingdom. Today, they may repent, accept Jesus Christ, and also, Lord, receive you into your heart. This we pray, we ask you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.